Hey, everybody, and welcome to Back to School, where learning and liberty meet. This is Kathy Wells, and today I'm going to be talking to you. Actually, I'm going to be reading a little bit to you and talking to you. This is a book. Well, this is an excerpt from a book by Alexander Inglis. It was written in 1918, which, remember, is right about the time that we started seeing all these changes in progressive education in America. And it's called Principles of Secondary Education. And these are the six purposes of modern education. And I believe I read about this in John Taylor Gatto's book, The Underground History of American Education. And I think that's where I got the idea that I wanted to look this up and read it. Okay, this is what I have printed out. Conant's 1959 book-length essay, The Child, the Parent, and the State, intrigued him to look at the social issues, and he doesn't elaborate, but directs you to what I'm going to read today, which is from Alexander Inglis's 1918 book. Okay, so Inglis makes it perfectly clear that compulsory schooling on this continent was intended to be just what it was in Prussia. Okay, so going back to Prussia, a fifth column into the burgeoning democratic movement that threatened to give the peasants and the proletarians a voice at the bargaining table. Modern industrialized compulsory schooling was to make a sort of surgical incision into the prospective unity of these underclasses, divide children by subject, by age grading, by constant rankings on tests, and by many other more subtle means like socioeconomic status. And it was like racial stuff, of course, that was already done. And it was unlikely that the ignorant mass of mankind separated into childhood would ever reintegrate into a dangerous whole. I just want to point out a few things here that you already probably know if you've listened to my podcast at all. Children didn't used to be divided up by age. They weren't divided up by subject. The testing thing drives me crazy. It's not that I'm anti-tests, but what is the purpose of the testing? Who is the test for? This is really the important question, isn't it? Is it for the child? Is it for the parent? Is it for the state? Is it for the school? Is it for the federal government? Who's it for? All right. So Inglis breaks down the purpose, the actual purpose of modern schooling into six basic functions, any of which is enough to curl the hair of those innocent enough to believe the three traditional goals listed earlier, which I don't have because I just have an excerpt here. Okay, so these are the six purposes of modern education. Alexander Inglis, 1918. Number one, the adjustive or adaptive function. Schools are to establish fixed habits of reaction to authority. This, of course, precludes critical judgment completely. It also pretty much destroys the idea that useful or interesting material should be taught, because you can't test for reflexive obedience until you know whether you can make kids learn and do foolish and boring things. Yes. What more can we say about that? So, schools are to establish fixed habits of reaction to authority. Wow. Okay, two, the integrating function. This might well be called the conformity function because its intentions to make children as alike is to make children as alike as possible. People who conform are predictable, and this is of great use to those who wish to harness and manipulate a large labor force. Yes, it is. Conformity. Oh, gosh, that socialization. Does my kid look like everybody else's kid? Very important. Number three, the diagnostic and directive function. School is meant to determine each student's proper social role. Neat. This is done by logging evidence mathematically and anecdotally on cumulative records, as in your permanent record. Yes, you do have one. Obviously, there's some commentary written in here. Number four, the differentiating function. Once their social role has been, quote, diagnosed, children are to be sorted by role and trained only so far as their destination in the social machine merits, and not one step further. So much for making kids their personal best. Five, the selective function. This refers not to human choice at all, but to Darwin's theory of natural selection as applied to what he called the favored races. And in case you didn't know, Darwin was basically a eugenicist, as was Hitler, as was Margaret Sanger, as were so many people in the United States. And sadly, as are a number of what is labeled today liberal pundits, but I would call collectivists, socialists, and statists. In short, the idea is to help things along by consciously attempting to improve the breeding stock. Schools are meant to and in case, by the way, in case you don't believe that, go look up the video of the abortion doctor saying, are you going to feed all those black babies? So it is very much, and in case you didn't know, look up Margaret Sanger. She hated black people and said, we're going to infiltrate the black community, act like we're their friends, and destroy them. And if you have any doubt that that's happened, just look around. Okay. In short, the idea is to help things along by consciously attempting to improve the breeding stock. Schools are meant to tag the unfit with poor grades, remedial placement, and other punishments, clearly enough that their peers will accept them as inferior and effectively bar them from the reproductive sweepstakes. That's what all those little humiliations from first grade onward were intended to do, wash the dirt down the drain. Now, I would like to say there, I mean, if you've been in school, you probably know exactly what that is talking about. I heard David Quine, who is a homeschool kind of guru, speaking one time about his son who did not learn to read until he was 12 years old. So this child would have been relegated to moronic status, basically, in the public school. But he's a lawyer now. He was an auditory learner, and he just didn't pick up reading until he was 12. His mother read to him profusely, and she, being wise, didn't worry about it. And she didn't let other people say, oh, my kid, you know, what's wrong with him? She just didn't, all this labeling, she just didn't do it. And I will say that in my home, I have one who is a very slow, she's just very slow to learn to read. But because I've heard the Quine story and I really believe strongly in what I'm doing, I'm not worried about it. If she were in public school, well, actually, she'd probably be doing just fine if she was in public school. But if she were in public school, let's say 50 years ago, I would probably be, you know, talking to the teacher about what we can do for her and are we going to hold her back? And we don't have to deal with all of those sorts of things. We don't have to deal with the, okay, is everybody fitting into this one little mold that we have for this age level? All right, number six, the propaedeutic function. Yeah, that looks like it's got a Greek root, so I'm not sure how to pronounce it. The societal system implied by these rules will require an elite group of caretakers. To that end, a small fraction of the kids will quietly be taught how to manage this continuing project, how to watch over and control a population deliberately dumbed down and declawed in order that government might proceed unchallenged and corporations might never want for obedient labor. And oh, I found what this is from. This is from John Taylor Gatto's work, Why Public Education Cripples Our Kids and Why. I bet that's supposed to say how public education cripples our kids and why. And that is free online. I just didn't print out the whole thing. Okay, so there's that. Six purposes of education. And, you know, that last one, first of all, let me just go back over that, an elite group of caretakers will manage everyone. And if you don't believe that's happening, remember the Prussian model, where there were three levels of school and 0.5% went to the academic school to be the ruling class. And remember, our system is based on that largely. Okay, now I wanted to talk to you a little bit about outcomes-based education, modern education, direct instruction, progressive education. There's so many names for it. When you read Iserby's book, which I certainly hope that you have started to do, and if you haven't, well, do so. You need to know this information. When you are reading her book, she's going to talk incessantly about OBE, outcomes-based education. And if you're like me, when you pick it up, you start reading it, and there's really, in the book that I ordered, there's no glossary. In the online book, there's a glossary, but I could have done with a really broad, sweeping explanation of this, but she sort of explains it as the book goes along, and you get it in pieces. Like, you start understanding exactly what she's talking about. But Phyllis Schlafly wrote a report that I found online about OBE, and I just wanted to read this report to you, and I have a good 20 minutes, so I'm just going to go ahead and try to read the whole thing to you and comment as we go. This was in May 93, all right? OBE, outcomes-based education, is sweeping the country in the name of school restructuring. It calls for a complete change in the way children are taught, graded, and graduated kindergarten through 12th. Since the American people seem ready to accept drastic surgery on our failed public schools, State Department's
of education are seizing this opportunity to force acceptance of OBE as the cure. But OBE has parents even more agitated than they are about explicit sex education. Crowds of 1,000 or more parents are known to have gathered in Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, and Ohio. Here is a summary of the 10 major objections that parents have raised against OBE. Number one, OBE is packaged, and Iserby talks about this extensively in her book because she really went to these meetings where this was being done. It's packaged in a deceptive language that appears to be mischievously chosen to mislead parents, and indeed it was. No doubt about that. And again, Iserby goes over that. Public school administrators have an obligation to present their, quote, reform plans in plain English so that parents can easily understand the objectives, methods, content, and exactly how it's different from traditional schooling. OBE advocates continually use double entendre expressions that parents assume mean one thing but really mean something else. When they talk about the new basics, for example, they're not talking about academics such as reading, writing, and arithmetic, but OBE attitudes and outcomes. When they talk about, quote, higher order thinking skills or, quote, critical thinking, they mean a relativistic process of questioning traditional moral values. And let me just say, there was an article this past summer of 2012 in our local paper about the Republicans in Texas and how they were fighting against critical thinking skills and higher order thinking skills in schools. And uneducated people will read that and did read that and, in fact, commented in the paper, which just infuriated me because, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. Uneducated people who don't know about this area will say, what? The Republicans, and I'm not a Republican, were against thinking skills. Well, wouldn't you know it? I just knew they didn't want our kids to think. But, you know, the paper didn't explain what that meant. What the Republicans were taking a stand against were these questioning of traditional moral values. And, oh, what did I read that explained this so well? I can't remember. I read something online one time that explained the exact process that this higher order thinking skills deal took you through and talked about the computer programs they use with the kids and the types of questions. If I ever find that again, I'll read it to you. All right. The following statement from OBE literature is typical. OBE schools are expected to become success-based, quote, rather than, quote, selection-oriented, quote, end quote, by establishing the instructional management procedures and delivery conditions which enable all students to learn and demonstrate those skills necessary for continued success. OBE salespersons don't tell parents that success for all children means success in demonstrating only the dumbed-down outcomes that the slowest learners in the class can attain. OBE means success in mediocrity rather than excellence. Wow, that is just, that's awesome. Okay, the second complaint. OBE uses students as guinea pigs in a vast social experiment. Well, duh, they've been doing that for 100 years. Hello? OBE advocates are not able to produce any replicable research or pilot studies to show that it works. In fact, I'm sure you could find many that shows how it doesn't work. OBE is being forced on entire state school systems without any evidence that has been tried anywhere and found effective. Of course, see, that's a catch-22, because found effective by whom? See, what is the success? That's what she talked about. What is success to them, and what is success to the parents? All right. The best test of an OBE-type system was Chicago's experiments in the 1970s with Professor Benjamin Bloom's, you've heard of him, Bloom's taxonomy, mastery learning. You guys, you teachers, if you use rubrics in your classroom, if you've ever looked at Bloom's taxonomy, that's what we're talking about here, mastery learning, which is essentially the same as OBE. ML, or mastery learning, was a colossal failure. Failure. And was abandoned in disgrace in 1982. Well, you know what, folks? It really wasn't abandoned. His taxonomy is being used today. I mean, this is ridiculous. The test scores proved to be appallingly low, and the illiteracy rate became a national scandal. Bloom, the father of ML, is well known for his statement that the purpose of education, this is a quote, is to change the thoughts, feelings, and actions of students. Would you just let that sink in for a moment, please? I know I've read you similar quotes in the past. The purpose of education is to change the thoughts, feelings, and actions of students. Well, pardon me, but is it any of your darn business what my children think, feel, and, well, act? in the terms of values is what they're talking about. Notice he doesn't say the purpose of education is to fill a child's head with knowledge. That's what education used to be about. Crazy. Dr. Bill Spady, sociologist and director of the International Center on Outcomes-Based Restructuring, defined the connection between OBE and mastery learning in an article entitled On Outcomes-Based Education. Let's see, do we want to read this? I'm sure it's just going to say, hey, it's the same thing. I pleaded with the group not to use the name mastery learning because the word mastery had already been destroyed through poor implementation. So what are we going to do? We're going to re-implement it, but call it something else. Welcome to politics. The major OBE-ML experiment, which took place in Utah from 84 to 86, shows how federal funding enabled it to spread nationwide. Oh yeah, Iserby talks about this. A letter applying for the federal grant written by Utah State Superintendent of Public Instruction, blah, 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 blah. This project will make it possible to put outcome, yeah, that was not a direct quote, to make it possible to put outcome-based education in place, not only in Utah, but in all schools of the nation, which is really neat because it sucks and it doesn't work. So of course, why wouldn't we want it in every school, right? But there's no plan to destroy education and there's no plan to make your kids stupid. So just go back to sleep, right? Okay, it's now being implemented nationwide. And remember, this was 93. All right. Okay, number three. OBE offers no method of accountability to students, parents, teachers, or taxpayers. Since it includes no objective standards of achievement that are measurable, it will be years and millions of tax dollars into the future before we know whether school children are learning anything important or are wasting their time. I vote they're wasting their time. Educators admit that OBE is very expensive. How many times have I told you that classical education is cheap? How many times? I don't know, 1,000? Since each student works at his own pace at mastering every outcome, skill, behavior until he succeeds, perhaps that is what was meant by lifelong learning. For as long as most of us can remember, and okay, can I just stop for a second here? You know, the words here, even the words surrounding outcomes-based education are very deceptive because, you know, it's talking about mastering skills and behaviors and success. And those are good words. And those are words that I might use talking about classical education. I might want my children to master things. As a matter of fact, when we talk about classical education, we talk about mastery of material. So part of the problem here is that we use the same sort of words and it becomes confusing. Like, well, what exactly is the difference? What's going on? But let me just say that I don't insist on, like, for instance, my children mastering addition before they're exposed to something else. Now, I'm not going to make them be able to do something else, but they're exposed to it. So there's this, they're on a continuum. And because they're taught in a one-room schoolhouse type mentality, they're constantly being exposed to things that are above their pay grade, so to speak. But I'm not requiring that to even be introduced to that new material, they have to master the previous thing, because that really would take a lot longer. I hope that makes sense to you. For as long as most of us can remember, and part of, I think for me, part of learning can be kind of latent. So as they're just hearing these things, it's helping build the grammar in them to be able to actually master it when their brains are ready. But anyway, okay. For as long as most of us can remember, secondary schools have been structured on a measurable grid called the Carnegie Units. Now, this is not classical, okay, but this is something that Iserby is going to talk about, so let's explain it. The traditional high school curriculum includes 4 units of English, three units each of mathematics, science, and social studies, 2 units each of arts and humanities, 1 unit of health and physical education, and several electives. This is how you and I went to school, probably. After you complete enough units, usually 21, you receive a diploma and colleges will admit you. OBE tosses these traditional units out the window and replaces them with vague and subjective learning outcomes that cannot be measured objectively by standardized tests and for which there is no accountability to parents and taxpayers. OBE will make it virtually impossible to conduct any kind of tests that allow comparisons with students in other schools, other states, or prior years. Under OBE, grades have no relation to academic achievement and knowledge. Colleges will have no criteria by which to judge whether students are ready for admission. Now, the Carnegie units are not, they're still part of modern education, and they're certainly not classical, but they were better than what she's talking about here. In the elementary grades, OBE does not teach children essential reading, writing, and arithmetic skills such as addition, subtraction, and multiplication tables, but pretends to teach them, quote, higher order thinking skills instead. OBE ignores the obvious fact that one can't engage in higher order thinking until one has some facts to think about. And that is key, and that is the basis of the grammar stage in classical education. We memorize facts so that when we get to the dialectic stage, we have some material to work with. We're not just sitting there knowing nothing. For example, an Iowa State OBE assessment test for the 11th grade shows no requirement of math skills beyond the fundamental computations of addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Number four, OBE is a dumbed-down egalitarian scheme that stifles individual potential for excellence and achievement by holding the entire class to the level of learning attainable by every child. And Iserby talks about this. Basically, what you're doing is teaching to the bottom, is what she's saying. To accomplish this, children are placed in politically correct groups, race, ethnicity, gender, class, for cooperative learning, and may be given a group grade instead of individual grades. Now, this happens in our school district because I've talked to the kids. Cooperative learning researchers admit that the purpose of this strategy is to eliminate grading and competition in the classroom. This is the essence of OBE and explains why all measurable criteria, standardized tests, the Carnegie units, traditional subject matter, and report cards must be eliminated. Okay, and I want to pause here a minute and talk about group work versus individual work, which I can't remember if I've talked about before. I'm sure I have. The big push now is, you know, oh my gosh, I talked to this woman at church and it was driving me crazy because she teaches in the area in college level. She's a professor for education. And she said something to me about, well, the most important thing is that if we play a game, nobody loses. And I'm just sitting there going, you're one of those people that I've heard about but never actually met. Are you kidding me? And that was really what her major, you know, thrust was for, like, the preschool program is what I was talking to her about. She didn't say anything about facts, knowledge, information, curriculum, nothing. It was just as long as everybody's a winner and nobody's a loser. And I mean, if you think that this stuff has not infiltrated teachers, colleges, whatever, oh, boy, howdy, let me tell you. And that woman is passing on this theory. It's a theory that doesn't work, by the way, to all of her underlings, to all the people coming under her. It's just really awful. All right. So group work is good. You need to learn to work in a group. That's why God puts us in families, right? Because we need to work together. But academically, we need to know what we know on our own, right? Okay, OBE is based on the unrealistic notion that every child in a group can learn to the designated level and must demonstrate mastery of a specific outcome before the group can move on. The faster learners are not allowed to progress, but given busy work called horizontal enrichment, or told to do peer tutoring to help the slower learners who are recycled through the material until the predetermined behavior is exhibited. Now, let me say a little bit about one-room schoolhouse versus this model. Okay, and I am for the higher students teaching the younger ones, okay? I'm not anti that, but they also need to be allowed to move ahead. So when we teach one-room schoolhouse as a homeschool family, we teach to the oldest child, but we incorporate the younger ones, right? So, you know, if you have a classroom full of, let's say you're teaching mathematics at the time, you have a classroom full of children, older to younger, you're teaching fractions to the older children. Right now I'm teaching my children common denominator fractions, adding and subtracting. But what can my three-year-old, my four-year-old do? He can name numbers. That's a two. That's a three. What can my eight-year-old do? She can add the top numbers. And she can also say, now, okay, when we're adding like fractions, do we keep the denominator the same or do we add it? And she can answer that because she's done it for several days and she understands that. So we're teaching to the highest level. The highest student is getting their needs met. They're learning something new and they're applying it. And then I teach the youngest level at the same time. Now, the other day, I had to teach the younger one borrowing when you're subtracting. Or no, I was just teaching her subtracting two-digit numbers from one another. So the older girls, I said, okay, y'all make up common denominator fraction problems for one another and exchange them quietly while I'm working with her. So everybody's getting taught at the highest level. So I hope you can see the difference there between just kind of teaching
to the lowest level and then making everybody else do busy work the whole time. I mean, what an incredible waste of time. Because ultimately, I'll tell you, that younger one or the one at the lower level is going to catch up if they keep getting exposed to the higher material. But see, all anybody is ever getting exposed to, do you understand, is the lower material. Everybody's only getting exposed to the lowest common denominator until everybody moves on. This is socialism. Okay, this, remember, all of this ties back to socialism. It ties back to a broader agenda, a communist manifesto, a socialist agenda. All right, sorry, I'm going on. Oh, I only have 4 minutes left. Oh, okay, let's see if I've covered that. I think I've covered that. If some students take much longer than others to learn a particular objective, then either corrective instruction must be given outside of regular class time. Right, who's going to do that? Or students who achieve mastery early on will have to waste considerable amounts of time waiting for their classmates to catch up. Well, duh. I was very bored in school. I learned to read when I was 4. I kind of taught myself to read, and I was bored in school because they were teaching me my letters in kindergarten. Why? I like to play in the sandbox. That's what I remember about kindergarten. Because seriously, my letters, I already knew those. Okay. Number 5, in an OBE system, academic and factual subject matter is replaced by vague and subjective learning outcomes. According to guru Bill Spady, the traditional subject-based curriculum disappears from OBE. New report cards substitute check marks for grades, focusing on general skills, attitudes, and behaviors instead of individual subjects. A look at the outcomes that have so far been made public show that they are heavily layered with such politically correct notions as training for world citizenship and government instead of, you know, patriotism or allegiance to God or family. I would even go beyond patriotism, which is a form of statism in some way. I don't mind patriotism as long as what you're saying is the founding principles were good, but if we're just saying our current government is good, that's not good. Population control, radical environmentalism, and government solutions for every problem. All right, there's examples below. And you can access this online. Again, we're reading from Phyllis Schlafly's report on OBE, 1993. Number 6, a high percentage of OBE, quote, outcomes concern values, attitudes, opinions, and relationships rather than actual academic objective information. I could go on about that, but I don't think I have to. Ooh, she's got pages of examples on that. Y'all have to read that. Requires students to meet vague psychological objectives relating to self-esteem, ethical judgment, adaptability to change, moving from one level to the next, and even graduation is dependent on meeting behavior change requirements and government-mandated attitudes. And then she says, okay, look for this section. It thus involves a major change in the school's mission. Instead of, you know, academic knowledge, they become psychiatrists, basically. OBE raises, and this is very important, and Iserby talks about this a lot, raises the fundamental question of who is deciding what values, beliefs, and attitudes a child should be taught. Is it their parents or the U.S. Department of Education, which funded OBE? Which is, you know, a key point if you're a human and you want your children to have your values and not someone else's. Okay, this is a quote about software development. Can computers teach values? It will work on the principle that students' attitudes can be changed effectively by using the Socratic method of answering an appropriate series of leading questions logically designed to right the balance between appropriate attitudes and those deemed less acceptable. Now again, confusing language. We have Socratic questioning here. Well, that's a classical technique, right? But you have to remember, classically, there was a lot of truth, beauty, virtue, goodness, what is right, a priori knowledge. There is a God, there is a creator. And so, yes, Socratic method is a method of leading students toward an answer by having them ask and answer questions. But we're talking about computers here, and we're certainly not talking about the same values. We're talking about global values. Number 7. OBE sets up a computer file on each child to track the child's efforts to master the learning outcomes. These electronic portfolios will take the place of traditional assessments, blah, 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 blah. Okay, number 8. OBE is a method of concealing and perpetuating the number one crime of the public school system, the failure to teach first graders how to read. Oh, buddy. It's wholly committed to the whole language word-guessing method rather than phonics. This ensures that children will learn only to memorize a few words that are massively repeated.
teachers are cautioned not to correct spelling and syntax errors because that could be damaging to the student's self-esteem and creativity. Y'all, do I have to say anything about this? Do I need to say anything? I'm not saying anything about that. I will remind you of the little girl in Oklahoma that my friend was telling me about recently who had been homeschooled and then was put in seventh grade public school. And she said their challenging spelling word for the week was strawberry. Seventh grade. Strawberry. Okay. Number 9. OBE, of course, involves high costs. Yes, let's just pass on. Number 10, it involves tightened state control at the expense of local control. Israel B. talks so much about this. But it appears, it's an illusion, it appears that there's going to be local control, but there's not. Anything that's nationally oriented, I hate. I don't like federal testing. I don't want federal money. I don't want any of it. And state money is not much better. Schools need to be controlled by the parents who are sending their children there. Bottom line. And they're not. And that's just wrong. Now, we have a whole section on OBE in Pennsylvania, OBE in Washington State, the under goals, OBE in Oklahoma. Oh, this is great. Y'all should look this up. Wow. Oh, y'all, I'm going to have to read some of this. Okay. Here are some direct quotations from the official Oklahoma State Competencies Grade 1 pages. Which confirm that first graders will reach their learner outcomes by guessing rather than reading. The student attends to the meaning of what is read rather than focusing on figuring out words, uses context, pictures, syntax, and structural analysis clues to predict meanings of unknown words, develops a sight vocabulary of high-frequency words, predicts unknown words, uses predictions. Yeah, that's all whole language stuff. Grade 2 is a continuation. Talks about predictions while reading. Okay, you don't need to predict what you're reading. You need to read it. Even in the 12th grade, the child is still told that he need not focus on figuring out words. He must nevertheless demonstrate a positive attitude toward himself as a reader. Okay, learning outcomes for mathematics. Grade 1 makes it clear that the child will not learn ordinary mathematics skills, but instead will be given a mishmash of higher order thinking skills. The longstanding preoccupation with computation. What? An emphasis on rote activities must change to a focus on fostering mathematical insight, reasoning, and problem solving, both individually and in collaborative groups. Y'all, this is awful. And this is how it is. It has not changed. This has been, gosh, what, 20 years ago? Yeah, 20 years ago. Crazy. Okay, comprehensive health learner outcomes for the first grade. The student will identify different types of family structures so that no single type is seen as the only possible one. The student will describe ways family members resolve problems and conflicts. Okay, there is one kind of family. It's the mommy and a daddy. Sorry if that's offensive to you, but I wouldn't want my children, especially in grade 1, talking about much else than that. Throughout the Oklahoma OBE curriculum, many outcomes are listed that pertain to feelings rather than academic achievement. For example, grade 4. The student will enjoy feelings resulting from involvement in physical activity. What if they don't enjoy the feelings? I guess they don't pass or whatever. Here are some of the outcomes that pertain to sex. The student will identify appropriate expression of sexual feelings. The student will develop communication skills, including being able to talk with one's actual or potential partner about sexual behavior. Okay. Alexander, oh yeah, this guy, I've got to read this guy. How do you say his name? Solzhenitsyn, the famous Russian author and former political prisoner in Soviet gulag, said in a speech in the mid-1970s, I've got to read this guy, y'all. Coexistence on this tightly knit earth should be viewed as an existence not only without wars, but also without government, telling us how to live, what to say, what to think, what to know, and what not to know. Unfortunately, that's what OBE is, a process for government telling our children how to live, what to say, what to think, what to know, and what not to know. What the children say, think, and know must conform to the liberal, politically correct ideology, attitudes, and behavior. What they do not know will be everything else. Oh, I guess this Phyllis Schlafly lady is kind of a big Republican-y lady.
maybe, I guess. I think I've heard her name before, Phyllis Schlafly Report. Okay, that's it for today. You know, what else do I need to say? It's crazy. Get your kids out of public school. Homeschool them. But more importantly, if you're, you know, if your kids are in public school, don't stop fighting until you get control of that school. Don't stop fighting until you make your administrators sit down, start a petition, go to school board meetings, print this stuff out at the library or whatever, take it in and say, read this. I'm going to read this to you. I want you to listen to this. Is this what we're doing? So please be an activist, stand for all children, not just your own, because we are lovers of humanity and we want all children to have a good liberal arts education where they can understand history and the world and make sense of what's going on around them. Okay, that's it for now. And I'll talk to you next time. Thanks. Bye-bye.